يعجل فرجهم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us another night to discuss our responsibilities and to prepare for the return of the Imam of the time. When we look at the ahadith that talk about the coming of the Imam, they let us know that there are certain tests on the way. There are tests on the way. Everybody doesn't make it. Everybody doesn't make it. Some people slip and fall. So what I'd like to do now, and I'm going to mention the hadith, is talk about some of the ways that we can distinguish between true Islam from Islam which is not correct. So that inshallah, by knowing and then implementing, we can be some of those people who make it through the test. One of the hadith is from our sixth Imam, Imam Sadiq, salamullahi alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. He says, لَبُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ أَنْ يُمَحَّسُوا. He says that definitely the people will be tested. وَيُمَيَّزُوا. The people are going to be separated, distinguished from one another. وَيُغَرْبَلُوا. The people are going to be sifted. And he says, سَيَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْغِرْبَالِ خَلْقٌ كَثِيرٌ. There's going to be a lot of people who fall right through that sieve. People who aren't able to make it. People who don't pass the test. So what I want to do is talk about some of our responsibilities, and then we can see, inshallah, are we people who are doing this? Or in order for us to do our responsibilities, do we have a ways to go? So we said one of our first duties, if we're going to talk about our duties towards Islam, we have three duties that we are supposed to do now in the end of times. One of them is to understand Islam. We want to understand Islam properly. We want to know what true Islam is, what true Islam isn't. Secondly, implementing and practicing Islam is very important. It's not enough just to have it in the mind that I believe in my heart and mind about Islam, but I'm not implementing Islam. Thirdly, we have to share Islam. We have to spread Islam. Is it enough as a question? Well, the leader gave out that letter. We shared that out. We had stands. We'd hand that out. Does that mean our duty's done? So I'm going to talk a little bit about what I mean about sharing Islam. To see, and again, this is for all of us, are we doing our responsibility in this regard? Now, because we live in a secular society, it's easy for us also to adapt secular principles. Sometimes we adapt secular principles, sometimes without being aware. For instance, there might be a question, let's say you and I leave this majlis and we're fired up and we say that we have to go and not only understand Islam, not only practice Islam, but you and I have a duty to reach out to our circle of friends and to the extent that we're capable, share these teachings of Islam, there's pushback. What's the pushback? Part of the pushback might be this. Why is it that you're concerned with the faith and practice of other people? Leave people alone. There are some Muslims, inshallah, none of us are like this. All they want from the West, now we have Trump in America. All they want from the Trump administration is just to be able to practice Islam without persecution. As long as I can implement some small form of Islam and practice without persecution, I'm happy. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. Brothers and sisters, when we're talking about true Islam, Islam of the Mahdi, we're talking about something a lot bigger than that. So I want to answer that question. Why is it that you guys can't leave people alone? How come you have to go over and also share faith, knowing, ayat of the Quran, you can't make anybody a Muslim. La ikraha fid din. You cannot force faith down anybody's throat. But why do you have to share Islam? Why not just leave people alone? So, And this is going to be the difference between fake westernized Islam and true Islam. There are some Muslims, remember, we're growing up here in the West, right? You guys are from England, I'm from America. What happens is, and I want to share some points with you, and then you see, just think carefully about what I say and see if it's correct, what you've understood. Let's be careful about this. Sometimes when we grow up here in the West, we're trained to be selfish. We're trained to be selfish. How is that the case? But there's so many good causes. People are helping people. Don't you see? Right? Listen to what carefully to what I say. See if this makes sense. We're trained to be selfish. There are some Muslims, brothers and sisters, when they see the suffering of other people, they see Muslims who are not praying, Muslims who are not fasting. Right? There's some people, they practice themselves. I'm practicing. I mean, he or she is not practicing. I'm not traumatized at the idea of seeing my brothers and sisters are not doing what they're supposed to do. There's some people who don't feel that way towards other Muslims. They hear people are suffering, their faith is going down, they don't feel. Then there's some people who maybe according to Muslims, they say, well, Amr bin Maruf and Nahy bin Munkar, if I see a Muslim, one of my family members, they're not making salat, I'll go. Sometimes we don't feel this sense towards the rest of creation. The rest of the people, Amirul Mu'mineen told us, there are equals in creation. What do I feel about them? When I see, for instance, people are on alcohol, drugs, homeless, depressed, gambling, when I see those different vices that are in society, how do I feel towards those people? And God forbid I'm one of those Muslims who looks scornfully at the local population. I've seen this sometimes. Sometimes with Muslims who immigrate from other countries and then they come from nothing, them or their parents, and then they come and they achieve and they remember where they were before they came and they could hardly speak the language and now they see where they are. They look scornfully at those who are still down in the trenches. They look scornfully at the mustadhafin. How can they don't get themselves together? It's not that feel, that Islamic feeling that we're supposed to have towards these people. So, how does Islam want us to view, true Islam, Islam of the Mahdi, in order to prepare the grounds for his return? How are we supposed to feel about other people and their faith and their practice and their lives? I want to give you a story from the life of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And if I can get one cup of water, I promise I'll make dua for that brother. If we look in the lives of our Prophet, Our Prophet was in Mecca. And he saw somebody who was gambling in Mecca. One of the mushrikeen. Apparently this is before Islam. Oh, Jazakum Allah khairan. Thank you. May Allah bless you. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So, back to our story. What's the story? Our Prophet's in Mecca. Apparently this is before the mission. A man's gambling, right? This is one of the vices in society. And you brothers and sisters know this. Sometimes gambling becomes an addiction. Sometimes the gambler almost can't stop himself or maybe herself. They keep thinking, I'm going to win. I can make it. I'll get it right this time. So the Prophet's watching this in Medina. This poor guy starts gambling, gets into a fix. He gambles away his camel, right? For you and I, a car, right? He's thinking, I'm going to make it this time. He gambles away his camel. When he gambles away his camel, instead of him thinking, enough is enough, I'll cut my losses, I'll leave. You know how it is when people are gambling? He says, I'm going to up the stakes. I'm going to put my house on the line. He puts his house on the line. He loses his house. Even then, he can't stop himself. The Prophet's still watching this. He can't stop himself. He says, what I'm going to do is I'll gamble 10 years of my life. I'm going to work for you for 10 years. This time it'll come through. And again, he lost 10 years of his life. When the Prophet saw this, they said the Prophet was so upset seeing one of the mushrikeen suffer in this way, he left Mecca. He went out into the hills. The rest of that day he spent outside of Mecca. Then after that, and towards the evening, later on in the evening, the prophet came back. So true Islam, in a nutshell, we care about others. We feel for others. We feel for the suffering of others. Now, what happens is, living in the West, now think about this carefully also. Living in the West, it's not that they have completely taken away people's humanity. No. Sometimes what happens is people's humanity, what they feel towards people, is channeled in a way that they still have those human feelings. How? Animals. Pets. I'm telling you what we see in America. There are people who are more fired up about animal cruelty than they are to human beings being killed. So where did that, the feeling of emotion, caring for others is still there, but how is it being directed? Save the whale. We'll have a cause. This is news in America. Some cat goes down in a well. Everybody upset. What happened to that cat? Right? They catch somebody, they did some cruel act to a dog. People were up in arms. This is reality. What else? What else? Another way is that, no, there are some people who are not like that. They're not indifferent to the suffering of others. They don't just watch when somebody's miserable. They care. You've seen the fire that's happened, right? There are people who are caring. There's people who are trying to do something, right? What's the problem, brothers and sisters? This is how we're trying to separate. What is true Islam from what isn't true Islam? There's people who are caring. People who are spending. People who are taking their time out. What's wrong with that? That's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. What is our problem? Sometimes when people are caring in the West, they care about the symptom. They don't address the disease. I care about poverty. I care about that building. That's not a bad thing, by the way. That building being burned down, that's a terrible thing. We're over here, we're reading Fatiha for the victims also. What more, though? Is it only that I care about the symptoms and I don't address the disease? In America, what we say is this. There's sometimes when you give a man a fish, there's other times when you teach a man how to fish. Right? One time, I take care of your needs right now. I'll build a new building, for instance. Right? There's another time I say, let's address the core reasons, the disease, not the symptom. What's the core reason? Why are people suffering? Why is there discrimination? Brothers and sisters, the real reason is Islam not being there in the lives of people. And not just Islam in the books, by the way. Islam implemented. Islam where the wali of God rules. That's when you're going to find all of these problems are eradicated. Up until then, we'll keep trying to fix them. Keep trying to fix them. That the true solution is that political power be in the hands of the righteous, those who care about God's creation. Then we can have a solution. So in order for that to happen, what has to happen? People have to have iman and faith. They can't be part of the problem. So for us as believers, I want to mention one of the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt. And brothers and sisters, I hope we can think about this hadith carefully and then see if this hadith makes sense. It's from the sixth imam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, "Nahnu aslul khair." We Ahlul Bayt, the wilaya of God. Nahnu aslul khair. We are the source of all goodness. Wa furu'uhu ta'atullah. The branches, those are Allah's, the obedience of Allah. Right? So what does that mean? What it means is this. Brothers and sisters, there are many good things that you do as Muslims. You give in charity, for instance. You're kind to neighbors, for instance. Hopefully we're honest when we're at work. Right? We're not like those Muslims. There's some Muslims, they have the wrong way of spreading Islam. I remember hearing a story once, they said these brothers were in Turkey, and unfortunately they were car thieves. Muslims, car thieves. So what these Muslims would do would be, they would go over and they would be about to steal a car, and then they would look inside the car. If they saw you had a tasbih hanging in the car, they say, oh, this is a Muslim's car. Let's not steal their car. We'll move down the street. Right? So what happened? The poor Germans, after a while, they realized what the Muslims are doing. They started buying tasbihs to stay safe from the Muslims. Right? So I'm not talking about that kind of Islam, that spreading Islam in that way, no. The hadith says that we Ahlul Bayt, the wilayah of Ahlul Bayt, that's the root of all goodness when you have the wali of God ruling. And he says the branches are the other forms of goodness that we do. And he says, and our enemy, the wilayah of our enemy, is the source of all wickedness and the other ma'asi of Allah, discrimination, poverty, all of these things, these are just branches. The real cause is not having the wilaya in the hands of the wali of God. So, now what do we want to do? We don't want to forget our first discussion, when that was, why do we have to feel a responsibility to share Islam? How concerned was our Prophet when it came to the well-being of other people? This is a verse of Quran now, Surah 18 and verse number 6. It says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Well, how much did our Prophet want to guide? How much did he care? 18:6. Yet perhaps you will destroy yourself out of grief for their sake if they should not believe in this account. The Prophet was going to die. He felt so bad seeing that people haven't heard this message. How different is that to going and handing out a letter and thinking my job is done? Alhamdulillah, the leader wrote, inshallah, they'll study Islam from the sources. How different is that to how we're supposed to, for the Prophet, how much he felt when it came to suffering of human beings? They're not going to believe, right? Now there's another counter argument. I don't want to go over and necessarily be mixing with all those people, those sinners. Maybe if I'm over there and I'm trying to talk to these people and engage with these individuals, maybe my faith will get weakened. You ever thought about that? I want to preserve my faith. If I hang out with other people, I'm easily influenced. Maybe hanging out with them will mean I lose my way. I have to save my own self. Right? Some people are like that. I remember we use different excuses. Sometimes we're just selfish. I remember hearing a story once. They said once these two guys, they were searching or tracking a bear. And suddenly the grizzly bear came out of the woods. And the two guys ran away from the grizzly bear. They ran towards the tree. They started going up the tree. And the bear came to the bottom of the tree and he started climbing the tree also. Then they see one of the two guys. He goes and he takes some sneakers out of his backpack. The other guy said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm thinking we'll jump out of the tree and we'll run. He said, are you crazy? We can't outrun a grizzly bear. He said, no, don't worry about it. I don't have to outrun the grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. So if that's the thing, I'm just going to save me. I'm not concerned about what happens to the people. I want to make it. That's not the way we're supposed to be. How are we supposed to be? How much is taqwa supposed to be in our lives? How is it supposed to change us? There's a group of people, I want to tell you a story in the Quran about a group of people. There were a group of people who thought that way. They said, we'll separate ourselves from society because we don't want to get caught up in sin. We'll stay away from these things because we don't want to get ourselves polluted. What did God say about those people? He talks about them in Surah 57, verse number 27. It says, وَرَحْبَانِيَّ اِبْتَدَعُوهَا. Rahbaniya is to be a monk, monasticism, to be a monk, to separate from society. What the Quran says is that being a monk, because there were some Christians, monks, separated themselves from society in order to stay pure. God says that this ibtada'uha, this was a bid'ah, this was innovation. They added this to the religion. He says, مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. We didn't write it down for them. We don't have this in Islam. We don't separate from society, and then that's the way we're going to stay safe. That doesn't work like that. Taqwa for us, brothers and sisters, is a shield. It's armor. We arm ourselves. We equip ourselves with taqwa. Then we go into the area where people are suffering and we rescue people. You've seen first responders? First responders. There's an area where there's a catastrophe. Right? There's a disease people have. There's some people put on hazmat suits. They go into that area, they drag the sick and the wounded out. There's other people, I don't want to go into the area because I'm too afraid. Maybe I'll catch something. Taqwa is supposed to be that it's that armor, that shield with taqwa. Not only will I not be changed, I'm going to take other people by their hand and I'm going to bring other people out. The expectation, brothers and sisters, because we made a dua last night, if we remember, to be the leaders of the army of the imam. Not just the regular soldiers. If we want to be leaders in the army of the imam, we have to go over, we have to be strong in our taqwa. We have to go and take other people, help them, reach out. Our taqwa, we have to be able to preserve ourselves, that's my primary duty. But more than that is what the expectation is. So, having said that, coming back to that first point, brothers and sisters, we have to go over and practice Islam, know Islam, and then share balanced mainstream Islam. Not our opinions. Balanced mainstream Islam without changing it. Without telling half-truths. Without making it user-friendly. Without tricking anybody to get them in. Right? Share what Islam is. Now, in order to do that, brothers and sisters, we have to revisit the fundamentals. When it comes to faith itself, our definition is going to be slightly different than the West. When it comes to faith, and I want to share verses of the Quran about this. What does it mean to be a mu'min? What does it mean to be a mu'min? Our verses of the Quran tell us a different definition than the traditional understanding. What's the real definition when it comes to faith? The first thing is this, we talked about this yesterday, the idea that when we believe as Muslims, we believe with backup. We have rational arguments for our beliefs. Our beliefs are not superstition. There's somebody who told me somewhere in the Quran it says this. No, as believers, we engage the mind, then we call for submission. First we engage the mind, we have to be convinced. We tell other people to come to this religion once we're convinced, right? This is the way of God. This first one is from Surah Yusuf, and it's Surah 12, verse number 118. What does the Prophet say, or God say to the Prophet? قُلْ, say this, هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I call to Allah, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. I have insight. Those who follow me have insight. Islam is not a religion where many of us have, my family, we came from a Christian background, my family, where sometimes in Christianity, there are times when your mind tells you, there's no way this can be correct. How can I believe three and is one? The mind rejects this. Who is Jesus praying to? If he's God, who is he praying to? As a Muslim, this is a difference now. When we're talking to other people about our faith, we're saying this. As Muslims, first we're going to have logical arguments. We'll convince you. You'll think about it. You'll consider. And then you arrive at faith as an intellectual conclusion. The heart has to be convinced. The mind has to be convinced. And then you accept. Now, what else? The second condition is this, brothers and sisters. When it comes to faith, it's not only a mental exercise. It's not just a theological argument that, how many gods do you believe? Oh, I believe there's 365. How many do you believe? One. Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah. And we go about our way. That's just a conclusion that I've arrived to, that there's one God. That means I believe the Prophet is a prophet. Is that it when it comes to faith? What we're going to say is something different than that. And I want to share verses of the Holy Quran. What we're going to say is this. It's not simply faith in Islam. Iman in Islam is not simply a matter of believing that there's one God. That's not enough. Faith, which is ashura'i, brothers and sisters. Faith, which is going to take us and help us pass the test, has three conditions. One of them was that intellectual side. The second condition is that faith pushes us to action. Faith pushes us to practice. If I believe there's paradise, if I believe there's hell, then that means my behavior is going to be very different. It pushes us to action. Sometimes faith is not like that. Sometimes it is. I remember hearing a story once. They said there was a little boy named Johnny, and he had a dog named Benji. Benji got sick. When Benji got sick, he went and he took Benji to the vet. His dad took Benji to the vet, and after that, he brings Benji back. And as soon as Benji comes in, the little boy's worried. He can tell the news is not good news from the vet. He says, "Daddy, what's happening?" He said, "Well, unfortunately, it seems like Benji's not going to be with us for very much longer." "Really? What happened?" The boy starts crying. "Benji's only got a few months to live." The boy is destroyed. He is crying. He's suffering. He's so sad. Then the dad says, "But Benji wouldn't want us to be sad. Benji would want us to remember the good times." He said, "Dad, I have a question for you." He says, "When Benji dies, can we have a funeral?" He said, "Yeah, we can have a funeral." He said, "Can I invite my friends?" He said, "Of course you can invite your friends." He said, "Can I have ice cream?" He said, "Yes, you can have ice cream." He said, "Daddy, can we kill Benji today?" Right? If that's what's going to mean, right? Belief sometimes it brings action. Right? With us as Muslims, what we're going to say is belief in Islam. This is different now. This is true Islam. Belief necessitates action. Belief necessitates action. All varieties of faith are not respected in the Quran. I'm going to give you examples, stories from the Quran, verses of the Quran. There are some times in the Quran where people had ma'rifah. Ma'rifah. And it was useless. One example. This example is the story of shaitan. Right? There's a conversation in the Quran, an important conversation, between shaitan and Allah. This is Surah 7 and it's verse number 12. Shaitan is speaking, or Allah, astaghfirullah, Allah speaking first. Qala ma ma'anaka alla tashjuda idh amartuk. What stopped you, God is saying, what stopped you from prostrating when I commanded you? Satan and God talking in the Quran. What stopped you? I told you to make sajda to Adam. How come you didn't stop? How come you didn't make sajda? Listen, brothers and sisters, carefully to the words of shaitan, the Arabic. Listen to what shaitan says. Qala, shaitan speaking. Shaitan said, ana khayrum min. I'm better than he is. Ana khayrum min. I'm better than he is. What else? Khalaqtani min nar. Shaitan is saying that you, God, made me. Shaitan is ma'rifah. You made me, khalaqtani. You made me min nar. You made me from fire. I believe Allah is my khaliq. Wa khalaqtahu min teen. You made him from clay. So shaitan, in this story, in the Quran, has ma'rifah. He believes Allah is the khaliq. He's talking to God. But was that useful for him? No. What else? Sometimes people have yaqeen in the Quran. Yaqeen. Not ma'rifah, yaqeen. And yaqeen doesn't save them. Another story from the Quran. This one is Surah 27, and it's verse number 14. Another story from the Quran. When Musa, alayhi salam, showed these signs to his people had yaqeen that Musa is talking on behalf of Allah. Yaqeen. Let me read the verse of Quran. It says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا They rejected. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ Their nufus, their souls, their hearts had yaqeen. وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوَّ So people can have yaqeen, but that doesn't mean that there's faith. What is faith? I want to give a little explanation after I finish this point. This is what happens. How do we judge, brothers and sisters, for true Islam, if we have iman even? How can we be those soldiers of the Imam? What does God say in the Quran? Clear verse of Quran. Surah 8, verse number 1. What does God say? He says, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَعَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah and the Prophet in kuntum mu'mineen. If you're a mu'min, if you believe, obey. If you believe, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. In true Islam, brothers and sisters, not secular Islam, not fake Islam. In true Islam, you and I don't have a choice when it comes to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse is clear. وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ. Obey Allah وَالرَّسُولَ and obey His Messenger إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you're a believer, obey. So faith in Islam is going to be one that demonstrates itself in our actions. Our hadith, this is from the Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is what our Imam says. He says, Al-imanu iqrarun wa amal. Iman, he says, faith is iqrar, to attest, to believe, to say that Allah is, and amal. He says, wal Islam iqrarun bila amal. Yeah, the verse of Muslim. Iqrar, I believe that Allah is one. Bila amal. That's a Muslim, not a mu'min, not a soldier of the Imam. Right? Obedience. Brothers and sisters, if we want to talk about Islam and getting ready for the Imam, wajibat are bare minimum Islam. We have a ways to go. We have to be honest with one another. Doing the wajibat, in all areas, by the way. In all areas. There are some people in certain areas of Islam, they're very careful about the wajibat. Other areas of Islam, no. The verse is clear, though. Obey Allah and the Prophet in kuntum mu'mineen. Bare minimum Islam is that obedience when it comes to the wajibat. Now, last point, because we're a little over time. Last point is this. Why is it in this verse that I shared with you that Allah mentions two sources? He says, وَعَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ. Why does God say, obey Allah and the Prophet? Why not just say, obey Allah? Don't you believe the Prophet's ma'asum? Yes, you believe the Prophet's ma'asum. So is the Prophet going to say anything that's different than Allah? Yes or no? He's going to say the same thing. Why mention both? Just say it's enough. Obey Allah. This, brothers and sisters, this is a sensitive point that separates true Islam from fake Islam. Why does God mention both? Brothers and sisters, how do you and I determine that we're obeying Allah? A lot of people can make claims about obeying Allah. I'm obeying Allah. You're obeying Allah. Everybody says they're obeying Allah. How can you and I make a difference? When do we know that we're obeying Allah? You have to obey Allah's representative. You have to obey Allah's representative. Who is the wali of Allah? If I go over and all I do is... so many people, we have verses of the Quran talking about the Yahud and Nasara, right? Saying that we are Abna'ullah, we're the children of God. That's a big claim. You're talking about the Prophet. We're saying we're the children of God. We're God's children. Right? How do you make a difference? What's the difference between you and them? Right? If you want to obey God, you have to obey the representative of God, the wali of God. So, brothers and sisters, we'll stop now. Inshallah, we'll continue with the other things. There's more to come, by the way. If we want to be soldiers of the Imam, we've got a lot to go. We've got a ways to go. But inshallah, we'll keep that for another time. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.